The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the power of his Holy Spirit be with us all today. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. It's good to see all of you today. You're so lively and awake. It's powerful. I feel energy. Don't you feel energy here? Because I feel energy. I feel the Spirit's power here. Because we're here today to worship him. We're here today to thank him and to praise him. We're here today to reflect upon what it means to be challenged by Jesus and his word. You guys are all involved in a very exciting new study here over these next several weeks. The Red Letter Challenge. When Pastor Chris told me about this, what came to my mind was, well, it has to be the red letters, you know, the Bible, the red letters, the words of Jesus. And it was. So I'm on the right track. He was somewhat worried this morning just what was going to happen. But we're here. We're a good team. The Red Letter Challenge. Jesus challenges us each and every day to follow him. In a real sense, to be more like him. We just sang about that. And also to live out our faith actively in our relationship under the cross with our relationship to others. This is the beginning, still, of a new year. Maybe some of you made New Year's resolutions. How many of you did? Oh, man. Only one. Okay. That's okay. I'll join you, Chris. You know, resolutions are great. You know, we make promises. We make promises to ourselves. We make promises to others. We make promises to God. We say, this year is going to be different. I'm going to be more under control, your control, God. I want to follow you. I want to do what you ask of me in your word. I want to heed your commands and your challenges. I mean, that's our hope and that's our dream. But just the other day I read that, you know, when people give up on their New Year's resolutions, the second week of January. Boy, that's kind of a downer, isn't it? But, you know, we could write a book, I think, really. Promises, promises. We make them. Our intention is good, but they never quite seem to be fulfilled. At least in the way we want them to be. Well, we're here today to begin a journey. A journey living under the challenges of Jesus. And we're going to begin where we need to, at the beginning. We need to realize what it means to be with Jesus. Being with Jesus, that's one of our first challenges. It's foundational. Before we can begin to live out our faith life and put it into action by words and deeds, we have to be standing on the right foundation. We have to be under the cross. We have to be in a relationship with God. What would you say if somebody came up to you today and said, do you have a relationship with God? What would you say? Yes. Let's hear it. Yes. Okay. I would be in a relationship with God. Well, what does that mean? That means I take time to be with him. If you consider yourself to be part of a family, you take time to be part of the family. If you say you have a friend, you take time to be with your friend. I'm a Christian. I need to take time being with Jesus. When you really take a look at your life, as I look at mine, I need discipline. Why do I need discipline? Why can't I just be everything I want to be for Jesus? I mean, it's just normal, right? It's, hey, I'm in it. Well, you heard the reading today from Romans here. Wow. Paul struggled with this, didn't he? To be with Jesus. And to live out his faith under Jesus. The good that I want to do, I can't seem to do, but the evil that I don't want to seem to do, I keep on doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then he goes on to say what? Thank you, God, for my Savior. That's really what he was saying. That's our thank you, by the way, every day, isn't it? Thank you, God, for being my Savior, because I struggle to be with Jesus. And what do we mean to be with Jesus? Well, you know, you walk, you live, you talk. Your whole life is really lived under the cross as a Christian. Your whole life is lived in the blood of the one who gave his life, perfect life, to forgive your sin. The sin of the whole world, by the way. That we could have life and have it abundantly. The forgiven life, heaven is our home. But I need to be connected to him. Not just in words, but in actions, in deeds, right? James says in his epistle, faith without works is dead. Can you imagine somebody saying, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus. Then he turns around, or he or she turns around and says to somebody else, well, you're a wretched person. I don't want to even talk to you. I hate you. Whatever. Is that the work that God has called us to do? Doesn't God say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbors yourself? Boy, that's pretty clear. We could say this morning, oh, wretched person that I am. I just can't seem to get it done. But God has called me to be part of his kingdom. And as a part of his kingdom, he's called me to be about God's business. And what is God's business? God's business is what? Salvation. God's business is to save people who are dead in their sin and make them alive in Christ through faith in him. That his first intentions in the Garden of Eden would return and will. Right? Heaven's our home. That's God's business. And we are called by God to follow Jesus in that business. But before we can begin to witness, to serve, to grow, to pray, to do all of these acts of God powered by his Holy Spirit in our life, we got to be connected. And how does that happen? Well, thanks be to God you're here today. That's a good one, right? Worship, right? Worship. God, you are worth everything and more to me that I could ever imagine. I owe you all honor and praise and glory. I live under you because of your grace. That's it. I deserve nothing, but you just abundantly pour out on me the forgiveness that has been won for me in your Son, Jesus. Oh, man. I'm so blessed. And you have set me apart to be everything I can be for you. Now, I would say this morning for all of us as Christians, I mean, you know, we're really, I would say, really committed to serving God, to following in His will, to doing His service, and so on. I mean, we're all, that's what we want. That's what we're here, and that's what God is about to work within us over these next several weeks. I would look at it as a renewal, as a reaffirmation, as a get another chance to stand up and be counted. Lord, I'm one of your family, and I want to be everything I can be for you. Isn't that exciting? That's what we want. That's our heart of hearts desire. But it takes work. It takes discipline. It takes prioritization. It takes, you know, because we're dealing with this sinful, fallen heart nature that we have. And I would submit to you that most of our days, we wake up in the morning. In fact, if we were really honest about it, we wake up and probably say, how can I best serve myself today? I have that same problem. I'll wake up and say, now, what do I have to do today? I'm talking about myself, what I have to do today. How about a better way to wake up? God, open my eyes that I can be everything you want me to be for you today. That's better. Are we all going to do that tomorrow morning? Well, not a bad idea. God, how can I be everything I want to be for you today? Open my eyes to see, my heart to feel, my hands to move for you. Red letter challenge. Jesus' words. Do you hear them? In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer, under God's hand of inspiration, says, let us run with perseverance the race marked or set out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That's how we begin in our life of service under the cross. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We have a faith relationship with Him. It's foundational. When we are struggling to do what God asks of us for Him in His kingdom, when we struggle, when we lose heart, when we lose attention, when we lose desire, and we all do, our eyes aren't fixed on Jesus. They're looking elsewhere. And generally speaking, they're looking inside here. We're looking at ourselves. We don't have time. We're tired. We don't have the energy. We don't have the interest. I've done that before. By the way, I have been on a board and committee before. I'm done. Really? When are we done? When our work is over. And when does God determine that? When He says what? Well done. Come on up. I'll say heaven up. Of course, heaven is with God. That's when our work is done. But until that time, God just unloads upon us opportunities to serve in His name. And to serve means what? To further extend His kingdom in the world. To get Jesus out to people so that God's Holy Spirit can convict them to trust and have faith in Him that they may be saved. I mean, that's what the church is all about. That's what we're all about. And we gather as a congregation, as a group of people, to be strengthened and inspired, to be forgiven and empowered. Yeah. Like you are today. And like you will be tomorrow. In God's word, in these challenges of Jesus, we have several ways in which we can be better connected with him, that we might be empowered for acts of love and service. To be lights on the hill, shall we say. To reflect Christ, to be Jesus with skin on, to be seen as his forgiven child. What are some of these ways? Well, just a few. In John 8:31, Jesus says, if you want to be connected to me, you have a relationship with me, you need to continue in my word. Ooh, that's important. The word. Of course, Jesus is the living word. And God inspired the prophets and the apostles to write the scriptures, the written word, which of course is the living word. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you will be my disciple. I mean, that's what we do. Right? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. We need to continue in the word. In Matthew 9:38, how about prayer? Jesus says, pray. Pray incessantly. Pray earnestly. Pray with a confident heart, the Bible says. Pray connects us with God. So, I'm into his word, the scripture. I'm into prayer. Luke 4:8, worship the Lord your God, Jesus says. Oh. I mean, everything Jesus says, what is for our good, right? I mean, it's for our blessing. It's for the good of the kingdom that is coming and now upon us, right? Worship. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and praise. Receiving the sacrament of Holy Communion. The very body and blood of Jesus. Is that strengthening? Is that fortifying? Is that Jesus saying to you, I am with you always, by the way, even to the end? I am there. I am. Man, you're not going to shake me. When God puts a plan into action, he keeps it, by the way. We don't always keep our plans, but he does. He gets his way. He gets his will. Why? Because he's God. And why? Well, because he's God in what? His mercy and grace. God so loved the world. That's you. That he emptied himself and gave Jesus. In James 1, the 22nd verse, the writer says, don't merely listen to the word, but do what it says. In other words, act upon it. It doesn't do me one bit of good to memorize verses of scripture and I can stand up in any Bible class and say, oh, by the way, I know that verse, I'll say it to you. And not what? Live it out. Live under it and through it. God's word doesn't return empty. It's the power of God unto salvation, right? Wow. You're handling dynamite. God has great plans for us and for his church, even today, even in the midst of all the stuff and the challenges. And I know that being with Jesus is easier said than done. Again, goes back to priorities and time and your talents and your treasures and how you dispense of everything that God has given you. How do I divide it up? How do I set my priorities? Lord, help me. A number of years ago in the church, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we had a program called His Love, Our Response. I love that I've used that theme many, many times over the years. His love, our response. Well, really, that's what we're talking about today. His love, God's love for me, forgiving my sin. Heaven is my home. Every day a new day. Best is yet to come. That's his love. Now, how do we respond to it? Thank you, God. Really feels great to be a Christian. Well, yes, it does feel great. But what is this greatness for? Is it for you alone? Is it for you to come to church and say, man, this was a wonderful sermon. I really needed this. And I take it home and I sort of sit on it. I bury it away as a treasure. It is a treasure, but I bury it away. What's that treasure meant for? To be shared, to be given away, right? The hope that we have in Christ, it's for all people. The challenge of Jesus' words. How about the choices we make in being with him and empowered by him? What about choices in our worship? Well, again, it's a decision. Do we come to worship in the church itself, the building? Do we come to worship every other week? Once a week? Once a month, rather? Doesn't sound too bad. At least we're connected, right? Or are we hungry and desirous to be under his word and in every way be filled so we can fight the good fight, right? So we can lay hold of it. We got to put on the whole armor of God. We got to be ready. This is a fallen world. The devil's still active. How about your prayer life? Being with Jesus. Prayer life's important. Prayer's talking to God, right? We don't have to move our mouths and that's prayer only. Do you think about God? Do you think about your relationship with him? Do you thank him in your heart and in your mind? Do you recognize his hand that he brought you through this or that? Or God, you are so good. We need to grow in our prayer life. That helps us be being. It helps us be with Jesus. Enables us to be. There's other ways to get under the Word of God and be connected to him. You know, study groups, Bible study groups, friendship groups, groups beyond just studying the Bible, but how about Christians gathering together in fellowship and care? Wow. So much can happen there and does. Christian music. Being alone with God. Listening to his word as it's proclaimed. I think I have mentioned this before. To you, when I get up in the morning early before worship, before I travel down to Sand Prairie, boy, it was cold this morning. It was really cold. Before I came down, I sat in my living room and I listened to Christian music. I always do that. It's so inspiring to me. Whether it's contemporary or traditional, I just love it when it speaks to me about Jesus and my response. I listen to it in the car, traveling, maybe you. I must also admit I listen to 60s at 6. Now that dates me, some of you. Do any of you listen to 60s at 6? Oh, yeah. Well, some of you just don't want to put your hand up, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll live with that. It's all kinds of different music, isn't there? But I'm talking here about Christian music, where we connect with Jesus. Personal time with the Lord. Jesus says, come unto me, all you are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you have a quiet time or a quiet space? Do you set aside time in your life, and we're all so busy, to say, Lord, I'm going to give you the, I want to set this time for you and me. You don't have to go in a closet, although you can. Just a few moments. Maybe before work begins or care begins or the sun comes up. And reflect upon his words, his promises. I love you with an everlasting love. I'm with you always. Cast your burdens, cares on me because I care for you. When I taught youth confirmation a number of years ago, I'm not going to say a number of years ago. That sounds like I'm ancient. I'm getting there. But anyway, I used to ask the kids to memorize certain Bible verses, certain psalms and Bible verses. How many of you did that in confirmation? Yeah, y'all did, sure. Well, you know what the kids would say to me? What? Why do we have to memorize this stuff? And I said, there'll be a day when you're not going to necessarily have a Bible in front of you. There'll be a moment where you're facing some kind of crisis or temptation or whatever it might be, some life-changing event. And that word of God and that promise of God will be there for you. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. That's the challenge of being, isn't it? To being with Jesus. We know the benefits. We know the blessings. And God is always there. Well, we have a new week ahead by God's grace. By the way, no snow, I don't think. Cold, maybe the first part of the week. We have a week ahead. We don't know what every day will bring, every moment will bring, but we know what God will bring under the cross, his peace and his blessing, that we may be a blessing to others. That's good for us, and that's good for the kingdom of God. Are you ready? Amen. And all God's people said, amen. By the way, in the first service, Chris, you heard that. In the first service, when I said amen, a little youngster way in the back pew shouted out, amen. It was wonderful. And I noticed as people left service, they were all looking at this little child going, thank you.